Perhaps I should inform any visitors among us that up to this point we have been trying to learn some lessons from five great Christians from the early centuries. First, we looked at Polycarp, the 86-year-old martyr. Then we spent some time looking at Justin, the itinerant evangelist, Origen, the child of Christian parents who became a great writer and scholar, Athanasius, who taught us the lesson to stand firm in our beliefs about the Holy Trinity and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and John Chrysostom, the golden-mouthed preacher. And today we come and look at Jerome to see what we can learn from him, the first of a splendid line of Bible translators. At home I have a book called They Translated the Bible, and it is a superb testimony to the sovereignty of God in relation to this book. In fact, it would make the theme of it would make a good series on its own. Jerome actually was an Italian. He was born in the northeast of that country. His parents were well-to-do Christians, and he pays them a very handsome compliment. He says, "They brought me up on biblical milk from my cradle." When he was 12, he left his home and his brother and sister, and he went to Rome to be educated, because very early on it became pretty obvious that he was extremely good with languages. He had a gift, and at Rome that gift could be developed. Now, when he was at Rome, there is no doubt that he lived an impure life, and the Christian church to him at that stage was no help whatsoever. Most Christians were talking about making spiritual progress, but they were so saturated with the worldly possessions and attitudes that all the spiritual fervour was effectively missing, rather in the way it is missing among many of us today, with our lack of real self-denial. And about that time, he was converted to Christ, and then he made a disastrous mistake. Learn from this. He had good motives. He wanted to be free from the vices of the flesh and to gain the spiritual victory over sin. But sadly, the keenest Christians he knew in the 4th and 5th centuries of that period had come to the conclusion that the only successful way to achieve that object was to become like hermits and to cut themselves off as much as possible from the world. You even see traces of that in the modern church, although we don't see the monastic communities springing up as happened in Jerome's time. And of course, we all know that if you go and live in a cave, sin doesn't lose its power. You simply take it into the cave. So Jerome's false teaching that marriage is a bad thing is wrong. Marriage does not destroy the spiritual life any more than singleness necessarily promotes it. Jerome was a poor theologian and a poor biblical commentator. In controversy, he was merciless, sarcastic, prone to call his opponents noxious insects and various other naughty things. And yet, his answer to the problem of worldliness always brings him back to this wrong answer. He became an ascetic, somebody who practices a rigid self-discipline by punishing his body, became a vegetarian, like Luther before his conversion. He denied himself food and sleep. somebody's remarked that perhaps Jerome's irascibility was caused by the bad way he treated his body, and probably it's true. Frankly, apart from his Bible, his life isn't worth remembering, except for this one thing, that God can use very, very fallible people, like Jerome and like us, if we believe, to accomplish great objectives. He overrules, you see, doesn't he? Well, what about that Bible? Jerome was God's man. He taught himself Hebrew for one purpose only, and that was to translate from the Hebrew into the Latin, from the original language of the Old Testament. So it was Jerome who established the principle that translating the whole Bible from the original languages of Hebrew and Greek was the right way to go about it. With his travels over, he took himself and his manuscripts to a cave, yes, a cave, near Bethlehem in 386 AD, and he spent the last 33 years of his life there. And for those of you who visited modern Israel, by the way, I gather Jerome's cave is close by the modern so-called Cave of the Nativity. Before Jerome, Latin translations of the Old Testament had always been made from the Greek, from something we call the Septuagint. In the interests of accuracy, Jerome appeared to change texts which Bible readers had been used to. And surprise, surprise, some people didn't like him for changing their favourite texts, even if what they had been using was inaccurate. And we face much the same problem today. If anybody dares to say that the Authorized Version is not perfection itself, then we get criticism. I have a tape at home given to me by somebody who has more zeal than knowledge that actually teaches that the English of the Authorized Version is inspired by God. Wrong. There is no English translation which is inspired by God. It is the Hebrew and Greek text of the Bible which is inspired by God. Now, Jerome's Bible is known to those who have read about it as the Vulgate, or the Common Version. And it may interest you to know that when the Bible was first put into the English language by John Wycliffe in the 1300s, he used Jerome's Bible as his starting point. And something else that will interest the Christians among you is that Jerome's Bible is the same one as ours. It has no apocrypha, no extra books, such as you will find in some other churches. Now, with all that, what on earth could we learn from a man like that in 1992? Well, first I suggest this, that if God gives you a gift, however great or small, that gift is to be used for Christ. If you bury the gifts God has given you, judgment awaits you. Think of the parable of the talents. And in saying that, I am not making a reference to the supernatural gifts of healing and revelation, which were the signs of an apostle and which have gone. But in spite of it all Jerome's failings, God used him. And he will use us, you and me, if we dedicate our lives to Christ's service. Secondly, I suggest this. Jerome writes that early after his conversion, God convicted him about spending more time with other books than God's book. He actually specifies Cicero and some other ancient writers. And I thought that was interesting. I suppose it is possible to spend more time reading trashy novels than the Word of God. But my guess is that the problem today is the TV, the videos, and all the other diversions that will easily make almost everybody who hears this guilty by that standard. The time spent with the Word of God measured against the time given to diversion is the issue at stake here. And for that purpose, of course, we should exclude all the legitimate concerns of life, bringing up a family, earning your living, and so on. Ask yourself about it. But more important, do you feel convicted about it? In the end, it comes down to this. Are you a real Christian? For only when you are will you begin to take the Bible seriously as the Word of God. And even if you are a real Christian, do you study God's Word? Or do you just live on blessed thoughts, perhaps taken from a kitchen calendar or something similar? A lady said to me once, I go to church to get something from the sermon to help me through the week. Now, however helpful the preaching is, it is not intended to be a spiritual fix to get you through the week. That would exclude your own commitment to the Word of God. Let Jerome be your example, at least in this. His Bible was hardly ever out of his hands. May God change us all. Amen.